You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. And we return here. It is a Taco Tuesday episode with our Taco Tuesday guest in Spencer Schultz of Baltimore Beatdown. And Spencer, the Ravens just like to make a lot of transaction on Mondays, it seems like, with a couple of really good moves, in my opinion. We'll talk about one of them here in this first segment and the other in the second segment before getting into more Ravens-related content and the final one. How are you doing today?
Doing fantastic. The Ravens have bombarded us with a bevy of interesting moves and two that really kind of came out of nowhere. But as usual, the Ravens are continuing the content train. And we'll get the NFL 100 coming soon and all that good stuff. So excited to talk Ravens football as always.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's get into this first move here, Spencer, as the Ravens end up retaining one of their own. And now he will be in Baltimore for the next three seasons. And that is running back Gus Edwards. Now, this is a player who I was a little wary of the Ravens re-signing, not because I didn't want him in Baltimore. I did, but it seemed like the way things were going, I didn't necessarily think Baltimore was going to give him the money that I think he deserved, and they did. I think the Ravens and Gus Edwards got a really good deal here. It's a two-year extension worth $10 million, and this is a deal that I was blown away with just because I think it's so good for both sides. You know, the Ravens aren't cheating Edwards out of any money or anything, but they're also getting a really productive player at, I think, a really good price. Spencer, when you heard that the Ravens had re-signed Gus Edwards, or I guess extended Gus Edwards on this two-year, $10 million deal, what were your original thoughts just based off of when you saw the move?
I was really happy. The Ravens run the football. That's no secret. And to have the insurance of Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, both of which capable of fully carrying an entire load, not to mention Justice Hill, not to mention obviously what Lamar Jackson contributes with his legs, it's a beautiful thing. Gus Edwards is a real success story for a player, a person who grew up in Liberia until he was 5 years old in extreme poverty, comes to the United States and, you know, scraps by, very hard worker, unheralded, despite being I think he was a number one fullback in the nation. I might be mistaken, but, you know, that's not the same privilege as being, you know, a top 10 running back or a top 30 running back in the nation. So it's kind of a weird sort of situation. He ends up playing some football at Rutgers, doesn't get drafted. No one's really heard of him. He had a good season there, but Rutgers football, especially when he was playing there, was just absolutely getting drummed in the Big Ten. So a weird situation there. The Ravens bring him in. They switch over to Lamar Jackson after Joe Flacco's injury. They bring Gus Edwards up from the practice squad. The man starts averaging 95 yards rushing a game. From that point, he has only gotten better. He has only improved in pass pro. He has only improved as a receiver. He has only gotten leaner and more explosive, and his vision seems to get better and better. He is one of the, if not the best, he actually is the best short yardage or power back in the NFL. On third or fourth and two or shorter, he has converted 89% of those carries dating back to his first start in 2018. That is the tops in the NFL, a little bit higher than Ezekiel Elliott. So he's the number one power back in the NFL. He's the number one short yardage back in the NFL. He has been able to really make some creative plays lately, especially last year. Giants game comes to mind, a couple of great highlights, that catch and run. Also a fantastic run where he kind of got out ahead of Ben Powers, and Ben Powers couldn't quite get to where he was going in time. And he became his own lead blocker and made people miss and went out and got the job done. He beats up on the Steelers. He is a model of consistency. And I know a lot of fans, including myself, were upset when Mark Ingram was hurt in that 2020 divisional round game against the Titans. And Gus Edwards was, you know, I think he had like a 16-yard run and two more, you know, okay carries, 3-4 yards. And that's all we saw from Gusto. And a lot of people were upset about that with Ingram hurt. And then last year continues. Obviously, he is third in the NFL in yards per carry since he entered the league behind Lamar Jackson and Nick Chubb. So second among running backs. And he's one of the best running backs in the NFL. There's a lot of backs that I think get a lot more run and are better fantasy backs and have bigger names and were drafted high. But there's not many backs that I would take over Gus Edwards, especially in this Ravens offense, maybe, you know, 5-7 guys. And Edwards has been the model of consistency, the model of improvement, the model of dedication and hard work. And it was adorable today to see him smiling. You see Marlon Humphrey's Instagram story, and he's, you know, playing and having some fun with his teammate who just got paid. And Gus Edwards, a very quiet, hard worker who, you know, always has a straight face on, and to see him kind of elated, smiling, you know, giggling and being a little tiny bit, you know, I don't want to say cocky, but, you know, having a little bit of fun that he got paid. And then seeing him, the big jubilant smile that he had when he signed his contract at the Ravens, you know, big, beautiful wooden table in their negotiation room or conference room, whatever it is, seeing the smile on his face, you could tell it was genuine. And again, a kid who grew up in poverty in Liberia until he was 5 years old. So a great story, a great person, a great running back, and a great deal. The value there is great. And it frees up a couple million this year for the Ravens while Edwards is on a tender. And then next year, I believe he has a $3.3 million cap hit and then a $4.3 million cap hit. So as the cap increases, it will be about the same between the next 2 years anyway. So good stuff all around. He's going to outproduce that value, and it ensures that the Ravens have two very dynamic running backs who are both ascending products in the NFL right now.
Yeah, Spencer, and let's talk a bit about those two young running backs, because obviously the big story was Edwards, but he will be with J.K. Dobbins in Baltimore for the next three seasons. And I think that's huge, because now Baltimore has two very good runners under contract at two very good prices for them. And it seems like they're going to be utilized in a tandem. And many have argued, you know, is Dobbins the number one? Is Edwards the number one? Either way, though, they're both going to get plenty of touches. How do you see this backfield kind of shaping up over these next three seasons with these two together?
I think it's going to be a beautiful thing. The Ravens are doing something that's unprecedented in NFL history, the way they run the football, the first and third highest yardage totals in NFL history over the last 2 years. And it's nice to know that as Lamar Jackson, you know, you always want to maintain the threat of Lamar Jackson's legs. But while he does an extremely good job protecting himself, rarely takes hits head on, always, you know, eases into contact or ducks out of bounds and rarely takes hits head on. You know, one of the funniest quotes in recent memory was John Harbaugh telling reporters, they were like, oh, Lamar took a big shot down by the goal line. He said, I think you guys should go rewatch that one. And you see him duck under two defenders who helmet each other, helmet to helmet, hit each other and don't hit him right before the goal line. And so at the same time, you know, he protects himself, but you do want to decrease the dependency on his legs. He's going to run. He's going to scramble. Mike Vick was making people look silly into his 30s on the Eagles. So that's always going to be there. But, you know, you don't want him carrying the ball 150 times. You don't want him continuing to. You go look back at what he was doing in college as well, and he's had a lot of carries. So it's a lot of stress, a lot of pressure, and you want to keep him healthy. He's the franchise quarterback. So having two extremely workhorse capable running backs like Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins is going to be a thing of beauty with a seemingly more shored up offensive line heading into this year. While it felt like last year, you know, expectations were higher than they should have been, it feels like this is a practically more well-rounded offensive line that's going to be able to run the ball downhill with inside zone and duo concepts because of Zeitler, because of the potential of maybe Ben Cleveland, as well as Bozeman kicking inside to center. So you've got, you know, a decent guard playing center now, someone who's capable, a bigger body like Bozeman, as opposed to Skura and Macari, smaller guys. And then two mammoth mobile athletes at the guard positions. And then Villanueva, who is a good zone blocker, more so than power. So I think we're going to see the Ravens simply hand the ball off a little bit more than they have in the last 2 years. And I think that's going to be a good thing for Lamar Jackson. I think it's going to be a good thing for the passing game as well and give him a little bit more options at the line of scrimmage. So this running game is going to be slightly reshaped and maybe more diverse than it has been since 2019, or possibly even more so. So it's going to be a fun thing to watch. And with Justice Hill back there still chomping at the bit, he had a great game against Pittsburgh, even though, you know, Pittsburgh has a strong defense and the Ravens didn't have much going offensively. He looked really good and he's had some explosive touches and has been working really hard on special teams. You know, they want to get him the ball a little bit as well. And he's going to be a factor. And it's a good thing to know that the Ravens have a stable of running backs as they run the ball better than anyone else. And they need those running backs. So while the rest of the NFL and especially the analytics community wants to debate the efficacy and the logistics and the monetary value of running backs, Ravens didn't overpay for Gus Edwards. They got J.K. Dobbins, who could very well turn out to be the best running back out of his draft class at a comfortable spot, you know, well outside of the first round. And then a guy like Gus or a guy like Justice Hill, who has track speed, has home run ability, and they're in a good spot.
Yeah, they certainly are in a good spot. And Spencer, when you look at this contract and what Gus Edwards did get, that two-year $10 million deal, do you think that the Ravens might want to get more production out of Edwards in terms of just overall volume because they did pay him that money? Or do you think they're going to stick to what they've been doing and kind of help that running game evolve, not because of the money, but because Edwards and Dobbins can definitely work off of each other?
Well, they like what they saw out of Dobbins and Edwards in the second half, Mark Ingram becoming inactive. And I think it's going to be more of that. It's going to be keeping both guys relatively fresh. Maybe they want to lean on one a little bit earlier in the season so that one is fresher later in the season. But there's going to be more Gus Edwards in short yarded situations, and there's probably going to be more J.K. Dobbins on passing downs. I think that they're interchangeable, certainly to an extent, and they're going to try and switch it up and vary what they do with those guys, but it's a 1-2 punch. It's, you know, a Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. It's one of those situations where you've got multiple backs that can hurt defenses. Ask a Pittsburgh Steelers fan how they feel about Gus Edwards. They do not like him very much. J.K. Dobbins has been explosive. I think he's more of a home run hitter. He has lethal speed. He has a little bit more jump cut ability and things like that. And Gus Edwards can get the job done in those short yard situations I was mentioning earlier. So I don't know if the money plays a factor, but they want Gus Edwards there, and they certainly want to get J.K. Dobbins the ball 150, 200, 250 times. So those guys are both going to get touches, and it's improbable that both of them stay healthy. So I think that'll be a factor as well. Who's healthier? Who's heating up a little bit more in game? You know, when guy catches rhythm, a guy catches fire. J.K. Dobbins had a couple times last year where you could see that he was visibly angry. He was coming off of the field when he was eating defenses up, especially in that regular season Titans matchup. He was pissed. He wanted to stay on the field. He was chewing them up, and they put it back on the field, and he did some damage. So got to go with the hot hand at times. And I think that they want to get both of those guys involved every single week. So there's a multitude of variables, but at the same time, simply both of them are going to get their touches.
Yeah, I do agree. And I think that both should get their touches. They have done a phenomenal job, Baltimore has, with utilizing both running backs in a way that I think works for them, and honestly is a nightmare for opposing defenses when you also have the threat of Lamar Jackson, both with his arm and with his legs, and obviously with the new pass catchers and the old ones returning that the Ravens do have. Their offense is just honestly unbeatable in some ways, and I think that with Edwards being in Baltimore for the next three seasons, with Dobbins being there as well, and obviously with Jackson set up to get his long-term extension, I think that the Ravens offense is going to be good, especially running the football for a very long time. But we're going to head into our first break here, and when we return, we'll be talking about Juwan James and his deal that he signed with the Ravens on Monday, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need into a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right locked on in there, how'd you hear about us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, RockAuto.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their run to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we return here with our second segment of this Tuesday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Allshiker is still here with Spencer Schultz of Baltimore Beatdown. And Spencer, the Ravens were not done after the Gus Edwards news. Some other news broke, and that is that former Broncos offensive tackle Juwan James signed a 2-year deal worth up to $9 million with Baltimore. He ended up rupturing his Achilles back in April, away from the facility. Denver ended up cutting him and voiding his entire, I believe it was $10 million salary because of the fact that he worked out away from the facility. Now James lands in Baltimore, will seemingly rehab in 2021 before hopefully playing at a high level in 2022. Spencer, were you surprised at all by this deal?
Yeah, it came out of nowhere. It was shocking, especially amidst the grievance situation that James has ongoing with the Broncos. It was a really crappy situation. And you feel for Juwan James. He is, you know, a guy who opted out last year. Guys played at a really high level, in 2018, had a little bit of injury issues in 2019, and is a solid starter and someone that was one of the highest paid offensive linemen a couple of years ago. And suddenly he is having to file a grievance, getting his entire salary taken away, and has a bad injury and a ruptured Achilles. So you feel for the guy. You're happy for the Ravens for bringing him in and giving him an opportunity to rehab with a professional team that has a, you know, world-class rehabilitation facility and staff in place. So you feel for that. But at the same time, it was, you know, a little bit strange. You end up seeing logistics of it, which is that the Ravens are going to be able to stash him on the IR and not have him count anything against the cap. I think he got a $750,000 signing bonus, and then $500 of that is being paid directly to him this year, another $250 next year, and then he has a base of $3 million next year. So it's an interesting situation between him and Alejandro Villanueva, who the Ravens signed for a 2-year deal. So both of those guys will be probably one or the other, or maybe both, are going to be playing games in 2020 as a Baltimore Raven. James, you can cut, and that's going to be a $3 million hit, as opposed to Villanueva, who you can cut, and you're going to save $2.75 million. So the Ravens just kind of taking a little bit of a flyer. You know, it's basically like a $3 million flyer on maybe one of those two guys ending up being a good starting right tackle in 2022. So the Ravens have time to evaluate both Villanueva in games, see how he fits in their scheme and their system. And he's been a pretty durable player. And if he's, you know, healthy through the end of this season, that's a good situation. He is an older player for sure. And then James, you're able to rehab and bring him in. Both of those guys have the classic Ravens height and length that they like in their tackles. Both are at least 6'5.5". Both have at least 35-inch arms, which the Ravens basically only draft or sign tackles that have that height and length. Mainly length is probably the more important factor. So both of those guys meet that threshold. And next year, they're going to be looking in, you know, around March, April, May, and trying to figure out which one makes more sense for them. So they'll be able to evaluate both players, and maybe you want to keep both and have a really good swing tackle in that situation. And James has not been able to stay terribly healthy in his career. I think he's played about 3 full seasons in 6 years, with missing a half of a season, missing most of a season, and opting out of another one, something along those lines. I think he has a little over 60 starts in his career, former first round pick. So it's a flyer. It's a little bit of an expensive flyer, but it's not, you know, if they decide to cut James, they're happy that they signed him and they gave themselves flexibility, and maybe they don't feel hogtied to drafting a lineman early in the draft next year. Maybe they don't like the draft next year for offensive linemen, for tackles ahead of time. And you maybe don't feel obligated to have to overpay in free agency next year for a tackle, as they so often get incredibly inflated contracts because of their demand and because of how few starting caliber ones hit the free agent market, especially when they're, you know, in that second contract situation. So I think it was a smart move, and maybe it doesn't work out and James is never able to play at a high level again and the Ravens wasted $3 million, but they took a flyer. So, you know, that's part of it. That's part of the calculated risk.
Yeah. And I think it was a great risk to take at the end of the day, because obviously Baltimore has done a lot with their offensive line this offseason, but just looking ahead to next season too, this is never just a 1-year thing for this team. It's always, how can we improve our team in the future? And I think that with James, they are doing that. They're taking that flyer. And as you mentioned, Spencer, there is a chance, hey, maybe it doesn't work out. But if it does work out, then that reward is just so, so massive. But Spencer, with what you know about James and his game already, and I know this is a pretty relatively new signing, so I know for me, I'm going to do a little bit more of a deep dive over the next few days. But Is there anything a little in depth that you can tell us about Juwan James and what he brings to the table for the Ravens? Kind of go a little in depth on that.
He's a really nice kick slide. He can get out of his stance. He can handle speed. He is a technically and athletically sound pass protector. He is against the run. He's able to work some down blocks and he's okay in space. I wouldn't say he's a road grader. I wouldn't go out and call him, someone you really want to run behind necessarily, but he's solid, gets a job done. He's not a weak point in the run game, but as a pass protector, was one of the better pass protectors in the NFL. One of the top 10, 15, 20 guys that have the talent, have the length, have the athleticism, have the technique, have the work ethic. He got paid that way. He got drafted that way. And he's kind of similar to Alejandro Villanueva. He's a really strong pass protector and a capable body in the run game. And it feels like with the Ravens scheme, with Lamar Jackson providing such a threat, with the diversity of the Ravens rushing attack, tackles you prefer to be more proficient as pass protectors. Ronnie Stanley is that way. Orlando Brown, kind of that way. And then Villanueva and James, both that way as well. So feels like that's the Ravens type, the athletic, leaner, aside from Orlando Brown, but leaner tackles who can move and who are going to allow Lamar Jackson easy escape lanes and aren't going to be getting whooped off the snap and beaten around the arc. Juwan James is mobile. He has length and he knows how to use his length. So if he was not injured, he would be the Broncos starting right tackle and be one of the better starting right tackles in the NFL. He is athletic as hell and solid. I mean, he was part of a really good Broncos offensive line. The Dolphins let him go and he got paid and he played when he was healthy, like he was drafted. So overall, I think James is a extremely solid right tackle when healthy, but that's a tough injury to come back from. Achilles is very serious, but if it's given enough time and given the proper rehab, and he certainly is someone who seems to bounce back from injury well, that's something I always like to take into consideration when talking about injury. You know, Deshaun Watson, a guy who's torn both of his ACLs, guess what? He came back and played at a really high level, so you're not as concerned about his longevity. So James has come back from injuries and played at a really high level. So I think he is a great flyer. I think that he is a great pass protector and that he would be fine in the Ravens run game because of how diverse it is and how, you know, much length he has. And he would certainly be an upgrade to the DJ Flukers and Tyree Phillips of the world and what the Ravens were dealing with last year if he were healthy. So I think it's a good move. I was a little confused when I saw that $8 million figure, but I assumed when Adam Schefter tweeted and he said up to, that's what you want to see. That means that it's incentive laden. That it's, you know, not going to be a big bite of the apple if the Ravens end up on the short end of the stick, so to speak. So overall, James, a player that has a ton of upside on a very cheap deal. And I'm sure he's super appreciative of the Ravens bringing him in and providing him with a home and a team and a place to rehab and, you know, feel like an active NFL player. As you know, Tony Jefferson, another former Raven, signed with the 49ers today. And you can see that he's been working his tail off, but he's been kind of pissed off and offended that he hasn't been brought in that same way. So it's a difficult situation. The Ravens took a flyer and he has the potential to be, if healthy, if able to rehab correctly, starting right tackle for them that can solidify things. So it's good that the Ravens overcompensated in the tackle position, especially after the extremely murky waters they got into with Orlando Brown in that peculiar situation. Yet another peculiar situation like Earl Thomas that the Ravens kind of have to deal with. And they've navigated those waters pretty smoothly. They didn't come out of the draft with anything, but they end up bringing in some veterans and bringing in some flyers. And you have Tyree Phillips probably returning to that position, it feels like. And they've got some warm bodies there. And maybe they would do end up drafting someone. Maybe they do end up signing someone. But they're not hogtied to doing anything or keeping any player or anything of the sort. So they have flexibility and some warm bodies.
Yeah, and I think it's great because you could never really have enough depth, and it's something where, yeah, the Ravens did not have a ton of tackle depth, and they were kind of playing with fire in 2020 with, all right, well, if Ronnie Stanley or Orlando Brown goes down, who are we going to rely on to be the left or right tackle? And lo and behold, Ronnie Stanley goes down. The Ravens have to do all of that offensive line shuffling. And it wasn't just the tackle position either. I mean, it was shuffling at the center position and shuffling at the guard positions at points. So, I mean, really it was the Bradley Bozeman show in terms of consistency at the position. And it seems like even if the Ravens do keep Villanueva and have James on their roster as well, you're never going to have enough depth. And the Ravens, as you mentioned, if they want to have that really high level swing tackle, there's not a problem with that at all, right? You can invest that money into that position and feel comfortable with it, because if a guy does go down, I mean, Ronnie Stanley has never played a full 16 game season in his entire career. You're comfortable with that with two players like James and Villanueva. So I think this was a really good signing based off of value, based off of the player that he is, and hopefully he can recover from his injury and come back and play at that very high level. But we're going to head into our final break now, and when we return, we're going to be talking a bit about Keith Williams, T. Martin, Drew Wilkins, and some other Ravens coaches. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. What's your favorite Built Bar flavor? Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, including coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, double chocolate, and salted caramel? Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie or whatever you like. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And we are back with our final segment of this Taco Tuesday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Allstreicher still here with Spencer Schultz. And Spencer, some Ravens coaches spoke to the media last Wednesday, and I wanted to get your opinion on a few things that they said. I've talked about these things on previous episodes before, but I wanted to get your insight on coaches, especially like T. Martin, who I think is one of the better coaches that the Ravens brought in this offseason. Obviously, they made a lot of good additions, but I think that T. Martin and Keith Williams, those two are going to make a profound impact, especially on the Ravens' young wide receivers. And he said that already he has a great working relationship with Keith Williams, and he credited head coach John Harbaugh with just thinking outside the box in terms of bringing them both in. Martin is the wide receivers coach. Williams is the pass game specialist. Based off of what you've seen and heard so far about how Martin and Williams are really connecting with the players and teaching the players, how do you think those hires have worked out so far?
Feels like they're active and involved, and they relate to players. They are smooth. You see clips, you see sound bites, you see interviews, all these good things. T. Martin's talking to his players as a peer. He, you know, has their respect, and he's, of course, you know, delving out instruction and getting these guys better, but there's no harsh tone. There's no air of arrogance or unprofessionalism at all. He's getting right down to business. You see him fixing Rashad Bateman's release right off the bat. You see him talking to Tylan Wallace about being able to be aggressive against press at the line of scrimmage. And the way that T. Martin really always has his players' backs, it feels like he is really incentivized them to succeed with, you know, friendship and with a peer-to-peer sort of relationship. And we've seen Keith Williams, who he's all business, man. He wants guys to get better. He wants the best to be better than they were the previous day and to keep getting better day after day. So those two have an ability to tackle Ravens passing offense and receiver room that was, you know, solely on the responsibility of one man in David Culley last year, who was an older coach and feels like he, you know, he was also the assistant head coach. So it feels like they've kind of shined the magnifying glass on that situation. And they have two very active, hungry coaches. T. Martin's never coached at the NFL level, and Keith Williams never coached at the NFL level either. So those guys are hungry. They want to bring the best out of their players. And the way that they talk about the receivers, the way they talk about Rashad Bateman and Marquise Brown and Sammy Watkins and all these guys is exciting. I think that they're going to bring in a fresh new perspective and get these guys, you know, understanding the mechanics and understanding the flow of how to be a professional receiver and not be so robotic, not be so, you know, seven steps every single time, you know, how to freestyle a little bit. So it feels good. It feels loose. And I think that we're going to see a productive Ravens receiver room as a result, and a passing game that has been unfairly criticized as it was about average last year in terms of NFL efficiency, but and the year before it was number one in the NFL. So it'll be somewhere between those two points, it feels like, you know, in that top 10 range in terms of efficiency again. And I think that T. Martin and Keith Williams will be at the helm of that. And I think that they're going to have some more opportunities as a result. They have a really talented, young, hungry receiver room, and they're two talented, young, hungry coaches as well.
Yeah, I'm certainly excited to see what the two of them can do. And I'm also excited to see what outside linebackers coach Drew Wilkins can do with some of the young talent on the Ravens roster at the edge rusher position, such as Odafe Owe and Daylon Hayes, and obviously Tyus Bowser taking hopefully another leap as he enters his fifth season. But Spencer, Drew Wilkins is obviously, I think, one of the best young coaches on the Ravens, I guess, coaching staff. And Don Martindale has said that, yeah, Drew Wilkins is a stud at his position, at his coaching position. And when you look at this edge rusher group, Spencer, it seems like with every day that goes by, the Ravens are looking more and more likely to just trust what they have on the roster already. Now, I have been a big advocate in the Ravens going out and signing Justin Houston, but Drew Wilkins praised Jalen Ferguson a lot, and I think that if the Ravens did sign a veteran, it would really be between that veteran and Jalen Ferguson for a roster spot, and I don't see the Ravens cutting someone they just signed, especially if it's Houston or even Melvin Ingram. Do you see the Ravens going out there and signing a veteran, or do you think that it's going to be the Jalen Ferguson, Tyus Bowser, Pernell McPhee, and the young guy show in Baltimore?
I think that they're going to give Jalen Ferguson an honest opportunity to go through training camp and maybe into preseason and see if he is where they want. And if he's not getting the job done, then they'll bring in another guy because they have five outside linebackers. They want to give Jalen Ferguson the opportunity. He wasn't quite where they wanted last year. They liked Jahad Ward. They liked the veterans. They brought in Ngakoue to bring a different skill set to what they had at the trade deadline. And I think that's what we'll ultimately see is either the Ravens bringing in a vet like Houston in training camp or making that, again, trade deadline, pre-trade deadline trade, as Eric DaCosta likes to go bargain shopping ahead of the trade deadline. So it gives the Ravens an opportunity to evaluate Ferguson, give him an honest chance, and keep money in case of something else and for extensions and things like that. They can delve out some extra dollars, but I believe they'll be active at the trade deadline. There's no reason to think that they won't be. Since Eric DaCosta has become the general manager, he has made deals, blockbuster deals at the deadline, both years, Marcus Peters and Yannick Ngakoue. So feels like he likes to go bargain shopping, big game hunting defensively to make those kinds of additions, someone who can rush the passer, someone who can cover in man around that time. And at this point with those five outside linebackers, I think they'll roll with them. I think that the Ravens see their defense and a market inefficiency that they're trying to take advantage of where, you know, they did spend a first round pick, but that's not taking up a monstrous amount of cap dollars. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if I were to guess, the Ravens are probably at least 25th in terms of cheapest outside linebacker rooms or pass rusher rooms, edge rooms, whatever you want to call it. And it's because they don't ask their outside linebackers to be true pass rushers. They didn't, Za'Darius Smith exploded in Green Bay because he wasn't dropping into coverage. He wasn't setting the edge. He wasn't being that trifecta three skill set player that the Ravens like their outside linebackers to be. And it feels like that's why they let Judon and Ngakoue walk, because they feel that they can afford to spend elsewhere and still get production out of McPhee, out of Bowser, out of Ferguson, and out of rookies. So they obviously, another factor, if Jalen Ferguson is the fifth outside linebacker and Odafe Owe ends up being a starting caliber player for them, which it feels like based on their workouts and based on a couple games and the way they talk about him, they feel like he is very much going to be a heavy rotational player at the least, then they might not need one. If Jalen Ferguson is the fifth guy, that means he's not getting a ton of run. There's four other guys playing. So Pernell McPhee, you obviously don't want taking too many snaps. And Daylon Hayes is probably just going to be Bowser's pretty much backup and work his way into a few snaps here and there. But ultimately, if they're unhappy, I think they're going to give these guys an honest chance through training camp. And there's still a couple names out there to be signed, and they can always make a trade if they need to. And if the Ravens, don't feel like they're capable of competing for for the division or for the AFC conference championship or for a Super Bowl because of that room, they'll make a move. So it would be nice to have Justin Houston. Absolutely. But it sounds like they're happy with what they have right now, and they want to give those guys summer reps. And you're probably confident in Justin Houston's ability to come in and do what he's been doing for the last decade. So it's veteran guys you expect to step in and be able to play without having a ton of wear and tear on their body. They're guys that might not be, in OTAs and doing all that stuff anyway. So ultimately, I think it does come down to Jalen Ferguson And if he doesn't perform, they'll make a move.
Yeah, I think they do want to give Jalen Ferguson that shot too. And Tyus Bowser kind of took the same career trajectory that Ferguson has taken so far, right? Not a ton of production over his first two seasons, but then year three, he begins to kind of step up. And then year four, obviously, was his pretty much breakout year. So I think that if Ferguson can get on that trajectory, I think that he could be a very nice player for this Ravens team. But Spencer, that's all that I have for you today. Thank you so much for joining me here once again on the show. And as the weeks go by, we're getting closer and closer to the preseason. And then, of course, the 2021 regular season, where this Ravens roster will be cut down to 53 players. And we'll get to see some live Ravens football.
It's going to be very exciting. Training camp around the corner. And this team feels like it's very well balanced and ready to compete. So thank you so much for having me on, Kevin. We'll be chopping it up again next week. Make sure to give Kevin 5 stars. Share this podcast with a friend. Share it. Support the man who gives you the best daily Ravens coverage. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks so much, Spencer. When we get back here tomorrow, we'll be answering your mailbag questions. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.